Indonesian investigators, with the help of agents from the United States and Australia, continue to search the rubble of the destroyed Bali nightclub for clues to last weekend's terrorist bombing. More than 180 people were killed, many of them Australian tourists. It's been disclosed that the Indonesian government, along with other governments in the region, had been alerted several weeks ago that a group linked to Al-Qaeda was planning terrorist attacks. Saturday's car bombing and the warnings have led to beefed-up security at tourist destinations in several Southeast Asian nations. NPR's Michael Sullivan is in Bali. What more do you know about the investigation?
There's not a lot that's new today, Bob, though the Washington Post is reporting that a former Indonesian Air Force officer has confessed to building the bombs that were used at the club. The police haven't confirmed that report. What we do know is that the police say traces of the plastic explosive known as C4 were found at the blast site, and that two people are being interrogated by police. Several dozen others were questioned and released. Australia's Foreign Minister Alexander Downer visited the site yesterday, and today he met with top Indonesian officials in the capital, Jakarta, and he offered Indonesia more support with the investigation. And in fact, Australia seems to be on the verge of restoring military links with Indonesia that were severed in the 1990s because of questions over human rights abuses by the military here. And obviously, the two countries are going to be working together very closely to try to get to the bottom of this. Australia is especially interested because most of the dead identified so far and most of the people still listed as missing are Australian citizens. And in Australia, comparisons are being made between what happened to its citizens here and what happened to the U.S. on September 11th last year. The Australians want action, and they're pushing Indonesia to get tough.
And how's the offer being received?
Well, it's interesting. There's definitely some anti-Australian sentiment here. The country is sort of looked at as a colonial power here, and many nationalists aren't happy with Australia because of the role it played in East Timor gaining independence from Indonesia in 1999. Some Indonesians feel East Timor was taken from them by the West in general and by the Australians in particular. So the resentment is definitely there, but now you have uniformed Australians, police granted, but uniformed Australians nonetheless, helping out on the ground with the investigation and providing a great deal of medical assistance immediately after the blast. And that help has been generally welcomed by the people here and by the government here. I think people here, in this case at least, they're grateful for the assistance, though of course if Australian troops were to show up to hunt the perpetrators, I think that would be a different story.
Well, besides the information on the bomb builder, is there any more on who was responsible?
Not really. Several Indonesian officials are admitting what they had been refusing to accept, publicly at least for months now, that despite information given to them by the U.S. and others that terrorist operatives were active here, the Indonesian government didn't take any action against them. The Indonesian government is saying now that they believe that Al-Qaeda is behind this with help from some local extremists, but they haven't offered any evidence or any particular names of who those extremists might be. But suspicion here, of course, has fallen on the group called Jama'a Islamiyah, led by the Muslim cleric Abu Bakr Bashir. And Western officials say the group has plotted several attacks against Western targets in Southeast Asia in the past year, and Singapore and Malaysia have arrested dozens of Jama'a Islamiyah supporters during that time. Jama'a Islamiyah envisions the creation of a greater Southeast Asian Islamic State, and a man believed to be its operational head, a veteran of the war against the Soviets in Afghanistan, is believed to have met several times in Malaysia last year with at least some of the men who carried out the attacks in the U.S. on September 11th. He is an Indonesian known simply as Hambali, and despite being sought by several governments, he's still not been found, but the group's spiritual leader, Abu Bakr Bashir, is living openly at his school in central Java. Australia's Prime Minister John Howard yesterday said he wanted the group declared a terrorist organization by the U.N., but the Indonesians say they have no proof against him and they won't move against him unless they do. I think there's some concern in the government here that his arrest, especially if there is no real evidence against him, might spark a backlash that the government might be seen as doing the West's bidding or the U.S.'s bidding, which is seen here as even worse. And I think if the Indonesian government gets proof, then they will move against him.
What are they doing now?
Well, I think the leadership understands it has to do something. So I think President Megawati is going to act decisively here, and the government is preparing an emergency anti-terrorism measure to give it room to crack down on the radical groups, and I think we'll see that enacted in the next few days.
NPR's Michael Sullivan in Bali, Indonesia.